Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
child is chosen for the world. And being the children of the world, we have to move the evil. Tonight, this is Ask Wednesday, but I want to deal with Michael. Michael was fighting the devil, the evil spirit. Lucifer was given by God. And I want to tell you, now, if you got a place where you're hurting at, put your hand on it. If it's your stomach, your head, your leg, because after this, a great healing gonna come after the service. Michael and his angel had to fight the dragon, had to fight Lucifer. And Lucifer was the most pretty angel in heaven. You want to run something. I want to talk about that tonight. I want you to listen. Psalms 109 and Psalms 77 and Psalms 59. I want you to know tonight all is well and things in divine order. When things in divine order, that means that God is going to release power to you. And I just want you to know, when I start talking about the angel,
Lucifer was originally a perfect angel.
When I start talking about the angel, Lucifer was the number one angel in heaven. But he wanted to take over. And I want to tell you tonight, God is still healing. And as we release power of the Holy Ghost on you tonight, if things going to happen for you. And as things happen for you,
beautiful celestial being, created by God as one of the high-ranking angels. His name, Lucifer, means bearer of light or morning star. In heaven, Lucifer was one of the most prominent beings and closest to divinity. His wisdom and beauty were unparalleled, and his position in special privilege. However, with time, Lucifer began to question divine authority and craving. Intrigued by the possibility of forging his own destiny and rejecting the idea of serving eternally, Lucifer immersed himself in a desire to be equal to or superior to God. This rebellion stemmed from a combination of ambition, pride, and the pursuit of freedom. Driven by power, he seduced other angels to join him so that together they could fight for the Creator's throne. The situation reaches a critical point when Lucifer, along with other celestial beings who shared his ideas, rose up against the established divine order. The heavens darkened with the outstretched wings of the rebel angels, their brilliance fading in the shadow of betrayal. Swords sparked with divine energy as the two leaders faced their destiny with fiery gaze.
Michael.
The intensity of the battle echoed in every corner of the cosmos, and the stars paled in the magnitude of the conflict. However, God had a mighty army, commanded by a faithful and warrior archangel. The war in the heavens was fierce, with angels facing each other in a cosmic struggle for supremacy. God emerges among the heavens and says, "Mine is the power and mine is my glory. My strong arm could know victory this very moment. Nothing can withstand my decision. A single word from my mouth, and nothingness would again be the eternal dwelling of the wicked. In me were created all things, those in heaven and those that will be on earth, visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through me and for me. I bring forth from nothingness and can return to nothingness. I do not struggle against anyone, for no one can contend with me. I could set things in order with my right hand alone, but my plans are different. Those who now believe themselves invincible, mere creatures, will be defeated. Evil will not only recede, but will also be expelled from the heavens. And the humiliation will be complete. Listen, for it will not be my arm, but other angels who will carry out my purpose. This is my decision, and so it shall be." After these words, the heavens were perplexed. His words were so powerful that everyone began to kneel before the Supreme Father, for they understood that they are the creation of the Supreme, the Most High, and that nothing and no one can surpass him. God's words were so strong that the rebel angels felt a sense of supreme fear, to the point of crying out with all their might. The Almighty spoke like a king, like the ultimate celestial authority, and the end of this battle was near. And just as God said, his most loyal angels were going to put an end to this rebellion. So Michael and his army went towards the rebel angels. This great army consisted of four angels of the highest hierarchy, the same ones who would later be protecting the Father's throne. Michael, clad in the imposing armor of righteousness, wielded the sword of truth with determination, while his wings gleamed with the glory of the Creator. Around him, a heavenly host, each imbued with divine purity, prepared for the battle that was about to unfold in the heavens. On the opposite side, Lucifer, whose beauty had been eclipsed by his own arrogance, spread his fallen and twisted wings. His gaze reflected rebellion and envy, fueling his desire to match the Most High. A chorus of fallen angels followed him, beings who had once known the light but now bowed before the shadows of evil. The sky vibrated with tension. The stars themselves seemed to hold their breath as the two leaders faced off on the celestial battlefield. Michael's words resonated like thunder, reminding all of the loyalty they had once sworn to the Almighty. In contrast, Lucifer's treacherous promises hissed through the air, enveloping his followers in a dance of deceit. The confrontation was epic, with the heavens resounding with the clash of swords and divine light battling against corrupt shadows. Every movement of Michael radiated the strength of justice, while Lucifer, desperate to preserve his own autonomy, unleashed the fury of rebellion. The flames of the celestial conflict illuminated the cosmic horizon, creating a dazzling spectacle that left even the stars astonished. Thunder reverberated like war hymns, and the echo of wings tore through the celestial silence. At the epicenter of the struggle, Lucifer and Archangel Michael fought a battle of intertwined destinies. The fight transcended the physical. It was a battle of wills, of fractured loyalties, and fallen desires. The sky roared with the weight of the conflict, and the souls of the fallen angels cried out in the wind. Every movement was a cosmic dance that would decide the very fate of the celestial realm. Archangel Michael, imbued with divine strength, stood as a radiant colossus, his wings spread out like an impenetrable shield. Before delivering the decisive blow, Archangel Michael exclaimed with a voice that resounded throughout the heavens, "Who is like God?" Satan already knew he had nothing left to do. He was already lost. And then the voice of the Almighty was heard again, echoing throughout the heavens, addressing the few demons still standing. "This will be your last chance. You will be expelled from the heavens. You still have time to repent. It's now or never." Approaching in a final attempt to what was once his greatest creation, he speaks to him as a father speaks to his son. "My son, it is not too late for you to return to me. Even though you have sinned, my love and forgiveness are even greater. If you return repentant, you can be an example and a treasure in the heavens, where you will shine with the light of my perfect compassion. You will be seen as a testimony of my greatness and my ability to give. In you, others will see the magnitude of my mercy and will be amazed at my power to transform even the most sinful into a precious jewel in my presence. Son, you will be the jewel of my mercy. You will shine and leave humans speechless. They will see you and understand that there is no sin that I cannot forgive. You, better than anyone, will be able to convey that confidence to the fallen. You will be a preacher. If you do not accept this last opportunity that I, your creator, give you now, there will be no other. A number of centuries equal to the grains of sand on the beaches of all the seas will pass. The pyramids will turn to dust. The oceans will dry drop by drop, and eternity will have only just begun." But Lucifer was no longer himself. He had changed his physical form. He no longer resembled that beautiful angel created by the creator. Now he was Satan, the first tempter. With a diabolical smile, he looks at the Most High and launches himself towards his angels with great fury. Here it was known that he would no longer be the same. Archangel Michael received the divine order, the order everyone awaited, the order that would end this. Lucifer, knowing he was already defeated, could see that everything revolved around him. He remembered when he was at his peak, that perfect and beautiful angel created by God when he was respected and revered by all the angels. He remembered when he told his father that he would respect and love him for eternity. Everything passed through his gaze of fear, but it was already too late. With a determination emanating directly from the heart of the cosmos, Michael delivered a decisive blow with a light as dazzling as absolute truth. The archangel cast Lucifer and his followers out of heaven, vanishing into the darkness of the abyss. And he fell, the great dragon, cast out by Archangel Michael. The stars shed farewell glimmers as the fallen were expelled into the infinite darkness. Michael's victory resounded in the heart of the cosmos, and God, on his throne of eternity, bestowed upon the archangel the power to guard the heavens against any future threat. With tears of grace and sorrow, the archangel contemplated the price of redemption, knowing that light had triumphed, but that shadow still lurked in the recesses of the universe. And so, Archangel Michael stood as the celestial guardian, the protector of life, while the stars witnessed him.
Archangel Michael had sent the devil back to hell. Archangel Michael is the watcher of the heavens by God. But Lucifer had a chance to repent. But he didn't. So I'm telling you tonight, you have a chance to repent, ask God to forgive you for your sin and your treason. You do that. But Lucifer was too jealous and envious when God told Lucifer, son, come on back, I forgive you. But he was too caught up with evil. So he's still running around the earth now. I just want to share that with you, that little piece on this going into Good Friday and just Ash Wednesday.
Rise.
in the night sky reveals truths that transcend human understanding, challenging us to plunge into the depths of the divine. In this labyrinth of revelations, we are confronted with questions that echo like thunder in the corridors of time. What is God, and how is he? Unraveling these divine enigmas, we encounter a wealth of answers that resonate like eternal melodies, intertwining the sacred and the human. However, as we progress, we realize the limitations of our finite understanding. We are finite and limited beings in the face of the grandeur of our Creator. How can we attempt to grasp an ocean with our hands? Similarly, our endeavor to comprehend the fullness of God is in this humble recognition that the journey becomes even more fascinating. As explorers of the divine cosmos, we navigate through the mysteries of creation and redemption. Our understanding, a compass pointing to the infinite, leads us through the vast fields of faith. For just as an ancient map unveils unknown lands, the Bible reveals the hidden corners of God's heart. Embark on this spiritual epic, aware that, while questions about what are revealed to us, questions about how challenge us to contemplate the unfathomable, unveiling the scriptures, we become pilgrims of divine wisdom, longing for more, aware that the pursuit of understanding is an eternal journey before the eternal God. And I am here to tell you, with the Bible open, that God is spirit. You have not seen God, and no one has ever seen God. Now, it is true, of course, that the Bible speaks of his hands, but that is just a way to make our limited minds understand that God is very powerful. It is true that the Bible sometimes speaks of his eyes, but that is just a way to make our limited minds understand that he sees everything. It is true that the Bible speaks of his mouth, but that is just a way to make our limited minds understand that God speaks and reveals himself. God is spirit. He has no body, cannot be weighed, measured, touched, or felt. He is a spirit, and God is a personal spirit. Who is God? Because he is not something, he is someone. That is why God has names, and the most well-known name of God is, of course, Jehovah, Yahweh, which is just the English way of writing the name with which he revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. I am who I am. God is someone, and that is why several times in the Bible we read that people became friends with him, and he became theirs. And that is why from the beginning of the Bible to the end, we read that God can be known. This is the great God we find in the scriptures, but how is he in himself? In terms of space, God is everywhere. Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord, Jeremiah 23:24. This means that God is not absent anywhere, and that God, in all his glory, all his being, all his majesty, all his purity, all his power, everything that God is anywhere, anytime, and everywhere, all the time. In terms of space, he is everywhere. Now our mortal minds cannot comprehend this. How can it be that all of God is here, and yet all of God is there? How can it be that God in all his fullness is here, and yet if we were to go to the farthest galaxy, all of God is there? This leaves us completely perplexed and surpasses our human understanding. But that is what the scripture declares, and all we can do is bow in worship.
The quickest way to clear out duck poop.
Fiber helps you poop, right? Nope. What about drink? The Book of Enoch, an ancient Jewish religious work ascribed to Enoch, the great-grandfather of Noah, exists outside of traditional biblical canon, yet offers a riveting glimpse into antiquity. Though not included in the mainstream Bible, its tales and revelations provide intriguing insights into early religious thought, angelic hierarchy, and mankind's origins. Delving into its chapters, we uncover reasons for its exclusion and the profound secrets it claims about our history. The Book of Enoch, often referred to as 1 Enoch to differentiate it from other texts bearing similar titles, stands as a testament to the richness of early Judeo-Christian thought. Written over several centuries, its oldest sections date back to the 3rd century BCE, while while the newer portions might extend to the 1st century CE. It is primarily composed in the Ge'ez language, though Aramaic, Greek, and Latin fragments have been discovered. The origins of the Book of Enoch can be traced back to the Jewish Second Temple period, a time when Judaism underwent significant theological and philosophical transformations. The Hellenistic influence was evident in Jewish society following the conquests of Alexander the Great, which introduced new philosophical concepts that merged and sometimes clashed with traditional Jewish beliefs. It was an era marked by heightened apocalyptic expectations and an increased interest in angelology. The Book of Enoch, like other pseudepigraphal works from the period, didn't claim to be a new revelation, but rather a hidden book passed down from ancient times. Its attribution to Enoch gave it an aura of antiquity and authority. Enoch is briefly mentioned in the Genesis narrative as a man who walked with God and was no more, for God took him. This cryptic reference piqued the interest of many, leading to elaborations on Enoch's character in various texts, of which the Book of Enoch is the most extensive. The text delves into the details of the celestial realms, explaining the hierarchy of angels and their roles in the cosmos. It addresses the transgressions of a group of angels known as the Watchers, who rebelled against the divine order by aiding with human women, producing the Nephilim, a race of giants. This narrative provides an alternative explanation for the cause of the Great Flood, positioning it as God's response to the corruption brought about by the Watchers and their offspring. The Ethiopian Orthodox Church remains the only Christian denomination to canonize the Book of Enoch, considering it an integral part of their Old Testament. This inclusion can be attributed to the strong Jewish presence in ancient Ethiopia and the nation's relative isolation from the theological debates and councils that shaped the Christian canon elsewhere. Contrarily, in other Christian traditions and in rabbinic Judaism, the Book of Enoch was sidelined. By the 4th century CE, it was largely lost to Western Christianity, with only occasional references to it by church fathers like Tertullian in his endorsement of the text. The reasons for its exclusion from the canon vary, with theories ranging from its controversial angelic narratives to its potential to challenge established theological viewpoints. The text's obscurity in the West persisted until the late 18th century, when Scottish explorer James Bruce brought back several Ge'ez copies from Ethiopia to Europe. This reintroduction sparked interest among scholars, theologians, and historians alike, leading to translations, commentaries, and a renewed evaluation of its historical and theological significance. While its historical origin is steeped in the milieu of Jewish apocalyptic literature, the Book of Enoch's content touches on themes that are universal and timeless. The struggles between good and evil, the quest for divine knowledge, the consequences of hubris, and the hope for a redemptive future are themes that resonate across epochs. The process of canonization, or the selection and affirmation of certain texts as authoritative scripture, was a complex journey influenced by a myriad of theological, political, and cultural factors. For many, the Book of Enoch remains a puzzling omission from the canonical Bible, given its early popularity among certain Jewish and Christian groups. Several reasons, both overt and subtle, have been put forth to explain its exclusion. One of the primary reasons was the controversial content within the Book of Enoch itself. The detailed accounts of fallen angels, their forbidden relationships with human women, and the consequent birth of the Nephilim challenged prevailing interpretations of Genesis. This narrative potentially posed theological dilemmas. The depiction of angels acting out of accord with divine will might have been seen as problematic, raising questions about the nature of celestial beings and their relationship with God. Furthermore, the Book of Enoch's intricate descriptions of the heavens and the hierarchies of angels lacked alignment with mainstream Jewish and Christian thought at the time. By offering such detailed cosmologies, the Book of Enoch ventured beyond the more reserved and ambiguous celestial descriptions found in canonical scripture. Another reason for its exclusion was the growing emphasis on monotheism and the desire to distance Jewish and Christian beliefs from neighboring polytheistic cultures. The Book of Enoch's angelology, with its extensive roster of celestial beings possessing individual names and roles, might have been perceived as echoing the pantheons of deities found in surrounding religions. The authorship and purported antiquity of the Book of Enoch also played a role in its exclusion. While the text claims to have been written by Enoch, the seventh from Adam, its composition spanned centuries and included a variety of styles and influences. Canonically,
NASA doctor finally revealed a seven-second brain trick that makes you super smart. Thousands of people are now doing it and are having insane results, and are going from brain fog to having great ideas just come to them, solving issues quickly, becoming rich, and are getting smarter and more powerful than anyone around them. Something strange is happening too. Taylor, a mom of two, suddenly started to speak Spanish. She took Spanish in high school, but that was it. But ever since she started doing this seven-second brain trick, everything Taylor learned in high school is coming back to her. She was quoted as saying, "It's like a genie waved a magic wand and gave me a super brain." See, this routine works by connecting several key regions of your brain together, and people are now remembering things they learned even 20 years ago. The doctor who created this is James Rivers, who has been studying this for 34 years. He found out that when we were kids, almost all of us were like mini geniuses. But when we grow up, only a few of us keep this superpower. But it's not because we're getting older that we lose this superpower. But it's because a special brainwave goes quiet. What if you can wake this brainwave up again just by doing something simple for a few seconds in the morning and truly get into what doctors are calling a state of flow state? And it's not just a made-up story. It's real science and real science. Thomas Edison himself invented a machine just to be able to activate his theta state to solve his most difficult problems. But instead of using expensive equipment, Dr. Rivers figured out a really cool way to activate this wave in just a few seconds per day. And perhaps the best part, you can achieve this all in the comfort of your home, which means you can totally try this life-changing method literally today. All you need to do is tap the Watch Now button on your screen to watch a short presentation that was put together by Dr. Rivers himself. The video will take you through exactly what you need to do to stay in that flow state each and every day. Just imagine you will start thinking bigger, remembering important ideas, learn money-making skills, help get promotions at work, find loved ones, and so much more. And watch key things just start falling in place for you. You're going to absolutely love this. The brain power you want is not in a bottle, capsule, or magic lamp. It's hidden inside you right now. You just need to turn it on. Click the link, and you can start transforming your life today.
Of all the works of their ungodliness, which they have ungodly committed. ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Chapter 2. Observe ye everything that takes place in the heaven, how they do not change their orbits, and the luminaries which are in the heaven, how they all rise and set in order each in its season, and transgress not against their appointed order. Behold ye the earth, and give heed to the things which take place upon it, from first to last, how steadfast they are, how none of the things upon earth change, but all the works of God appear to you. Behold the summer and the winter, how the whole earth is filled with water, and clouds and dew and rain lie upon it. Chapter 3. Observe and see how in the winter all the trees seem as though they had withered and shed all their leaves, except 14 trees which do not lose their foliage, but retain the old foliage from 2 to 3 years, till the new comes. Chapter 4.
With Coinbase, you can trade Bitcoin in 6 easy steps. Create and verify your Coinbase account.
And again, observe ye the days of summer, how the sun is above the earth over against it, and you seek shade and shelter by reason of the heat of the sun. And the earth also burns with growing heat, and so you cannot tread on the earth or on a rock by reason of its heat. Chapter 5. Observe ye how the trees cover themselves with green leaves and bear fruit. Wherefore, give ye heed and know with regard to all his works, and recognize how he that liveth forever hath made them so. And all his works go on thus from year to year forever, and all the tasks which they accomplish for him, and their tasks change not, but according as God hath ordained, so is it done. And behold how the sea and the rivers in like manner accomplish and change not their tasks from his commandments. But ye have not been steadfast, nor done the commandments of the Lord. But ye have turned away and spoken proud and hard words with your impure mouths against his greatness. O ye hard-hearted, ye shall find no peace. Therefore shall he execrate your days, and the years of your life shall perish, and the years of your destruction shall be multiplied in eternal execration, and ye shall find no mercy. In those days ye shall make your name an eternal execration unto all the righteous. And by you shall all curse, and all the sinners and godless shall imprecate by you. And for you, the godless, there shall be a curse. And all the elect shall rejoice, and there shall be forgiveness of sins, and every mercy and peace and forbearance. There shall be salvation unto them, of goodly light. And for all the sinners there shall be no salvation, and on you all shall abide a curse. But for the elect there shall be light and joy and peace, and they shall inherit the earth. And then there shall be bestowed upon the elect wisdom, and they shall all live and never again sin, either through ungodliness or through pride. But they who are wise shall be humble, and they shall not again transgress, nor shall they sin all the days of their life, nor shall they die of the divine anger or wrath, but they shall complete the number of the days of their life, and their lives shall be increased in peace, and the years of their joy shall be multiplied in eternal gladness and peace, all the days of their life. The fall of the angels, the demoralization of mankind, the intercession of the angels on behalf of mankind, the dooms pronounced by God on the angels, the messianic kingdom. Chapter 6. And it came to pass, when the children of men multiplied, that in those days were born unto them beautiful and comely daughters. And the angels, the children of the heaven, saw and lusted after them, and said to one another, Come, let us choose us wives from among the children of men, and get us children. And Semjaza, who was their leader, said unto them, I fear he will not indeed agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty of a great sin. And they all answered him and said, Let us all swear an oath, and all bind ourselves by mutual imprecations, not to abandon this plan, but to do this thing. Then swear they all together, and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. And there were in all 200 who descended in the days of Jared on the summit of Mount Hermon. And they called it Mount Hermon, because they'd sworn and bound themselves by mutual imprecations upon it. And these are the names of their leaders: Semiazaz, their leader, Arikabah, Ramael, Kokabiel, Tamiel, Ramiel, Daniel, Ezekiel, Barakajah, Asael, Amaros, Batarel, Ananel, Zekiel, Samsapiel, Satharel, Turel, Jomjael, Sariel. These are their chiefs of tens. Chapter 7. And all the others together with them took unto themselves wives, each chose for himself one. And they began to go in unto them and defile themselves with them. And they taught them charms and enchantments, and the cutting of roots, and made them acquainted with plants. And they became pregnant, and they bare great giants, whose height was 3,000 ells, who consumed the acquisitions of men. And when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. And they began to sin against birds and beasts and reptiles and fish, and to devour one another's flesh and drink the blood. Then the earth laid accusation against the formed ones.
Without good sleep, bad stuff happens. Only Betty Zetti's all-natural fruit chews are handcrafted with full-spectrum cannabis and herbal supplements to help you sleep your Betty best. Available in two recipes, with melatonin and now with CBN and CBD.
Chapter 8. And Azazel taught men to make swords and knives and shields and breastplates, and made known to them the metals of the earth, and the art of working them, and bracelets, and ornaments, and the use of antimony, and the beautifying of the eyelids, and all kinds of costly stones, and all coloring tinctures. And there arose much godlessness, and they committed fornication, and they were led astray, and became corrupt in all their ways. Semjaza taught enchantments, and worked cuttings. Amaros, resolving of enchantments. Barakijah taught astrology, Kokabel the constellations, Ezekiel the knowledge of the clouds, Arakiel the signs of the earth, Shamsiel the signs of the sun, and Sariel the course of the moon. And as men perished, they cried, and their cry went up to heaven. Chapter 9. And then Michael, Uriel, Raphael, and Gabriel looked down from heaven and saw much blood being shed upon the earth, and all lawlessness being wrought upon the earth. And they said one to another, the earth, made without inhabitant, cries the voice of their crying up to the gates of heaven. And now to you, the holy ones of heaven, the souls of men make their suit, saying, bring our cause before the Most High. And they said to the Lord of the ages, Lord of lords, God of gods, King of kings, and God of the ages, the throne of thy glory standeth unto all the generations of the ages, and thy name holy and glorious and blessed unto all ages. Thou hast made all things, and power over all things hast thou, and all things are naked and open in thy sight, and thou seest all things, and nothing can hide itself from thee. Thou seest what Azazel hath done, who hath taught all unrighteousness on earth, and revealed the eternal secrets which were preserved in heaven, which men were striving to learn, and Samjazah, to whom thou hast given authority to bear rule over his associates. And they have gone into the daughters of men upon the earth, and have slept with the women, and have defiled themselves, and revealed to them all kinds of sins. And the women have borne giants, and the whole earth has thereby been filled with blood and unrighteousness. And now, behold, the souls of those who have died are crying, and make their suit to the gates of heaven, and their lamentations have ascended, and cannot cease, because of the lawless deeds which are wrought on the earth. And thou knowest all things before they come to pass, and thou seest these things, and thou dost suffer them. And thou dost not say to us what we are to do to them in regard to these. Chapter 10. Then said the Most High, the Holy and Great One, spake, and sent Uriel to the son of Lamech, and said to him, go to Noah, and tell him in my name, hide thyself, and reveal to him the end that is approaching, that the whole earth will be destroyed, and a deluge is about to come upon the whole earth, and will destroy all that is upon it. And now instruct him that he may escape, and his seed may be preserved for all the generations of the world. And again the Lord said to Raphael, bind Azazel hand and foot, and cast him into the darkness, and make an opening in the desert, which is in Dudael, and cast him therein, and place upon him rough and jagged rocks, and cover him with darkness, and let him abide there forever, and cover his face that he may not see light. And on the day of the great judgment, he shall be cast into the fire, and heal the earth which the angels have corrupted, and proclaim the healing of the earth, that they may heal the plague, and that all the children of men may not perish through all the secret things that the watchers have disclosed and have taught their sons. And the whole earth has been corrupted through the works that were taught by Azazel. To him ascribe all sin. And to Gabriel said the Lord, proceed against the bastards and the reprobates, and against the children of fornication, and destroy the children of fornication, and the children of the watchers from amongst men, and cause them to go forth, and send them one against the other, that they may destroy each other in battle. For length of days they shall not have, and no request that they, their fathers, make of thee shall be granted unto their fathers on their behalf. For they hope to live an eternal life, and that each one of them will live 500 years. And the Lord said unto Michael, go, bind Samjazah and his associates, who have united themselves with women, so as to have defiled themselves with them in all their uncleanness. And when their sons have slain one another, and they have seen the destruction of their beloved ones, bind them fast for 70 generations in the valleys of the earth, till the day of their judgment and of their consummation, till the judgment that is forever and ever is consummated. And in those days they shall be led off to the abyss of fire, and to the torment and the prison in which they shall be confined forever.
You'll never forget an anniversary.
and let the plants of righteousness and truth appear, and it shall prove a blessing. The works of righteousness and truth shall be planted in truth and joy forevermore. And then shall all the righteous be saved, and shall live till they beget thousands of children. And all the days of their youth and their old age shall they complete in peace. And then shall the whole earth be tilled in righteousness, and shall all be planted with trees, and be full of blessing. And all desirable trees shall be planted on it, and they shall plant vines on it. And the vine which they plant thereon shall yield wine in abundance. And as for all the seed which is sown thereon, each measure of it shall bear 1,000, and each measure of olives shall yield 10 presses of oil. And cleanse out earth from all oppression, and from all unrighteousness, and from all sin, and from all godlessness, and all the uncleanness that is wrought upon the earth, destroy from off the earth. And all the children of men shall become righteous, and all nations shall offer adoration, and shall praise me, and all shall worship me, and the earth shall be cleansed from all defilement, and from all sin, and from all punishment, and from all torment. And I will never again send them upon it from generation to generation and forever. Chapter 11. And in those days I will open the store chambers of blessing which are in the heaven, so as to send them down upon the earth over the work and labor of the children of men. And truth and peace shall be associated together throughout all the days of the world, and throughout all the generations of men. Dream vision of Enoch, his intercession for Azazel and the fallen angels, and his announcement to them of their first and final doom. Chapter 12. Before these things, Enoch was hidden, and no one of the children of men knew where he was hidden, and where he abode, and what had become of him. And his activities had to do with the watchers, and his days were with the holy ones. And I, Enoch, was blessing the Lord of Majesty and the King of the ages, and lo, the watchers called me Enoch the scribe, and said to me, Enoch, thou scribe of righteousness, go, declare to the watchers of the heaven who have left the high heaven, the holy eternal place, and have defiled themselves with women, and have done as the children of earth do, and have taken unto themselves wives, he have wrought great destruction on the earth, and he shall have no peace nor forgiveness of sin. And inasmuch as they delight themselves in their children, the murder of their beloved ones shall they see, and over the destruction of their children shall they lament, and shall make supplication unto eternity. But mercy and peace shall he not attain. Chapter 13. And Enoch went and said, Azazel, thou shalt have no peace. A severe sentence has gone forth against thee to put thee in bonds, and I shall not have toleration nor request granted to thee, because of the unrighteousness which thou hast taught, and because of all the works of godlessness and unrighteousness and sin which thou hast shown men. Altogether, they were all afraid, and fear and trembling seized them. And they besought me to draw up a petition for them, that they might find forgiveness, and to read their petition in the presence of the Lord of heaven. For from thenceforward they could not speak with him, nor lift up their eyes to heaven, for shame of their sins, for which they had been condemned. Then I wrote out their petition in regard to their spirits and their deeds individually, and in regard to their requests that they should have forgiveness and length of days. And I went off and sat down at the waters of Dan, in the land of Dan, to the south of the west of Hermon. I read their petition till I fell asleep. And behold, a dream came to me, and visions fell down upon me. And I saw visions of chastisement, and a voice bidding me to tell it to the sons of heaven, and reprimand them. And when I awaked, I came unto them, and they were all sitting gathered together, weeping in Abel's jail, which is between Lebanon and Sennacher, with their faces covered. And I recounted before them all the visions which I had seen in sleep. And I began to speak the words of righteousness and to reprimand the heavenly watchers. Chapter 14.
Flash.
flaming fire was round about him, and a great fire stood before him, and none around could draw nigh him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, yet he needed no counselor. And the most holy ones who were nigh to him did not leave by night, nor depart from him. And until then I had been prostrate on my face, trembling. And the Lord called me with his own mouth, and said to me, Come hither, Enoch, and hear my word. And one of the holy ones came to me and waked me, and made me rise up and approach the door. And I bowed my face downwards. Chapter 15. And he answered and said to me, and I heard his voice, Fear not, Enoch, thou righteous man and scribe of righteousness. Approach hither, and hear my voice. And go say to the watchers of heaven, who have sent thee to intercede for them, You should intercede for men, and not men for you. Wherefore have ye left the high, holy, and eternal heaven, and lain with women, and defiled yourselves with the daughters of men, and taken to yourselves wives, and done like the children of earth, and begotten giants as your sons? And though ye were holy, spiritual, living the eternal life, you have defiled yourselves with the blood of women, and have begotten children with the blood of flesh. And as the children of men have lusted after flesh and blood, as those also who die and perish. Therefore have I given them wives also, that they might impregnate them, and beget children by them, and thus nothing might be wanting to them on earth. But you were formerly spiritual, living the eternal life, and immortal for all generations of the world, and therefore I have not appointed wives for you. For as for the spiritual ones of the heaven, in heaven is their dwelling. And now the giants, who are produced from the spirits and flesh, shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, and on the earth shall be their dwelling. Evil spirits have proceeded from their bodies, because they are born from men, and from the holy watchers is their beginning and primal origin. They shall be evil spirits on earth, and evil spirits shall they be called. As for the spirits of heaven, in heaven shall be their dwelling. But as for the spirits of the earth, which were born upon the earth, on earth shall be their dwelling.
Scientists at Harvard have discovered that men over 40 who do not fail in bed have a stroke.
And the spirits of the giants afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, and work destruction on the earth, and cause trouble. They take no food, but nevertheless hunger and thirst, and cause offenses. And these spirits shall rise up against the children of men, and against the women, because they have proceeded from them. Chapter 16. From the days of the slaughter and destruction and death of the giants, from the souls of whose flesh the spirits having gone forth shall destroy without incurring judgment. Thus shall they destroy until the day of the consummation, the great judgment in which the age shall be consummated over the watchers and the godless, yea, shall be wholly consummated. And now, as to the watchers who sent thee to intercede for them, who have been aforetime in heaven, say to them, and earth. Jasher, chapter 1. And God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And God created man in his own image. And God formed man from the ground, and he blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, endowed with spirit. And the Lord said, It is not good for man to be alone. I will make unto him a helpmeet. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. They took away one of his ribs, and he built flesh upon it, and formed it, and brought it to Adam. And Adam awoke from his sleep. Behold, a woman standing before him. And he said, This is a bone of my bones, and it shall be called woman,
many things has held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing.